You can be seated. I believe there are still some seats. Those of you standing in the back, please find the empty seats. There are seats up here. There are seats down here. And we're going to get some extra chairs for everybody so everybody can be seated. I want to welcome you. First, on behalf of the family, let me welcome you and thank all of you for coming today to support this family after the sudden passing of Mike last Wednesday. We come together today as the family and friends of Mike Farrell for a few purposes. We come to remember and honor Mike, especially his life in Christ. We come to grieve together the very real loss that his departure is to all of us. But most of all, we come to glorify God, who because of his love and grace and mercy has redeemed Mike by the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabled him to be today, even as we gather here together in this room, in the very presence of the Lord and see him face to face. Mike's departure from this life was sudden, and for Mike it would have been a reminder of the Epistle of James, where it's written in James 4:14, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Because of this truth, knowing that none of us knows the day or the hour of our own passing, and believing that at the moment of our death, our eternal destination is fixed forever, Mike was a passionate evangelist. And he cared deeply about seeing people come to a knowledge of the Savior. In a time of mourning, we believe, and I know Mike believed, that nothing speaks to our hearts like the Word of God. So let me read from John chapter 14. These are the words of Jesus. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we have the privilege of coming together this morning to honor and to remember our brother in Christ, Mike Farrell. We do pray, Heavenly Father, that as we remember Mike, even as there are tears, Lord God, even as there is grieving and mourning, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. We grieve as those who have the hope of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We grieve as those who have the hope that Mike is there with you right now, in your presence, Father God, because your word declares to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We thank you for these truths, Lord, and we're going to celebrate these truths this morning, even as we honor Mike's life. We commit this time to you and ask you to glorify yourself in all that happens, and we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
There were a couple of songs that the Farrell family asked that we do this morning. One is "In Christ Alone." It's a song that really has been giving Don just a lot of, it's been ministering to her heart, but one of the things that she desired was for us to have an understanding that our hope is in Christ. That is where our hope is found, and that in that hope we have. and I just want to also say that the lyrics will be up here on the screen, and if you want to sing along this and just to proclaim your hope in Christ, please feel free to join us. The second song is 10,000 Reasons, and Michelle asked for that one in particular because she and her dad would sing it together, and so please join us in that too. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought.
Like never before. Yes, I worship your holy name. Yes, I worship your holy name.
Mike Farrell was born August 26, 1952, in Coral Gables, Florida, the son of Maxwell and Dorothy Blake Farrell. He died Wednesday, November 12, 2014, at Hillcrest Medical Center in Tulsa. He was 62 years of age. Mike married the former Miss Dawn Dykema on November 25, 1995, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, right here on this stage at Tulsa Christian Fellowship, where they were both members their entire marriage, and where they both served, and Dawn and the family continues to serve faithfully. From the time of his salvation, Mike was captured by a compassionate heart for people, not only to see those apart from Christ come to him for salvation and eternal life, but also for those Jesus called the least of these, those who were needy, those who were down and out and in need of loving friendship. Mike's heart was very clearly reflected by the things into which he put his time and his energy. For more than 35 years, Mike was a vital component of the Ministry of Jesus Inn, which when he started was a drug and alcohol recovery and rehab center and ministry to transient street people. There, he counseled runaways and drug addicts and those with mental illnesses and those who needed Jesus. And he sought to bring real hope in Christ and move them toward healing and wholeness in every part of their lives. In 1984, he became the head men's counselor, and he served in that role for 11 years, ministering to the many men who came through the ministry. Even in recent years, as Jesus Inn has transitioned into a discipleship ministry, Mike's continued involvement included teaching at the house church meetings and a big heart of love for all who came his way, as well as serving on the organization's leadership team. Also in more recent years, Mike worked part-time with the Mental Health Association and truly loved his relationships with the many people that he encountered there. Mike married later in life when he was 43 years old, but he very quickly became a loving father and family man. He loved his two stepdaughters, Danielle and Deanna, and enjoyed raising the children he and Dawn had together, Michelle and Josiah. The children report that Mike was a fun dad, and his faith in Christ and his love for them had a profound influence on the lives of all four children. Mike owned and operated Appliance Doctor, an appliance repair business. One of his hobbies was riding motorcycles, and even this hobby combined with his love of Christ and his desire to see people come into God's kingdom. He was part of the Christian Motorcycle Association, and when he died, he was the chaplain of this group. He often spoke of his heart for avid motorcyclists and his desire to see them come to faith in Christ. Mike enjoyed camping and fishing with family and friends. These were some of his most fun times. Memorial gifts may be made to the Christian Motorcycle Association Run for the Sun. Mike is survived by his wife Dawn of Tulsa, daughters Danielle and her husband Steve Rustin, and Mike's grandson Oliver of Aurora, Colorado, Deanna and her husband Jonathan Hall of Tulsa, and his daughter Michelle, as well as son Josiah, who both still live at home. He's also survived by his father, Max Farrell, of Bradenton, Florida, brothers Blake and his wife Amy Farrell of Taunton, Massachusetts, Bill and his wife Amy of Florida, okay, Forrest and his wife Diane of Sandwich, Massachusetts. Mike was preceded in death by his mother. We're going to watch a short video with some music in the background that just gives us some pictures of Mike's life.
What it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. Only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in to my knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Now we're going to have an opportunity to hear some memories of Mike from some of you in the congregation today. But before we open up the mic for everybody else, we want to first give opportunity for Al Guarneri and James Manchester, ministry partners of Mike for over 30 years each, to come and share a few thoughts. And then I'll bring the mic around for others to have an opportunity to share. Would you come first, Al?
Well, the first thing I remember about Mike is I was with Don Thornhill. We were downtown or somewhere riding around, and here was Mike out on the street preaching, and these guys that were behind us threw bottles at him, and he thought we were going to throw bottles at him, but we just rolled our windows down and encouraged him. And there he was. He was just in his element. He just, that was Mike. I mean, he was a street preacher. He was an evangelist. He And then the next thing I knew, Mike was at the Jesus Inn. And the things I remember, I think James will fill you in more, but the things I remember is all the things we did together. Mike was just a great and close friend to me. And he was an encouragement. He loved God, and it was so obvious in our relationship. We would go down to Granite Prison, which was 250 miles one way. And so we'd have all that time together going there and back and ministering in the jail and in the prison. Then we started going to the county prisons together, just Mike and I. And it was, we went to Okmulgee, Fahuska, Mays County. And I think in Mays County, we showed a Bob Mumford film for the guys in the cells. And it was just for me, it was, Mike was my friend. He was a committed man. He was a spiritual man. He loved God, and it was obvious in all that he did. His laughter was contagious. And we would just laugh together. But being in that one, I just remember one time we were together and we were headed to Pawhuska, and we were headed down a straight, narrow road, and I think it was Route 11 out of Skytook. And I said to Mike, "Look up there, Mike." And we looked, and there was two big tarantulas going across the road. You know how big they are. And we just laughed. We couldn't believe we saw that, you know. So, and I think there was a time when, I can't remember if Mike was in the car, but Philip Bernard was on the way back from Granite, I think, and they were falling asleep at the wheel. And just before that happened, a big bird smacked the window. And it was just, you know, just woken right up, so. I was partner with Mike in ministry in the house with the guys, and we did well together. I would kind of accent Mike's leading in the counseling, and I would have Mike say, and the thing was that we were true friends. You aren't going to find somebody like Mike, who was so zealous and so desired to see people come to the Lord. And he was a friend to all people. He always wanted, the latest was, is that we started going to the international lunch at TU. Mike wanted to minister to the Muslims. Anywhere that he could find a way to evangelize, he would certainly go, and we'd go to TU games together. We did a lot of things together, and I don't know what to say or don't have a lot of in-depth things, but just that I loved him very much, and my heart is broken.
Pray that I can do this. I met Mike about 30 years ago when he first came to the Jesus Inn, and I very quickly realized that, like a lot of us, he was very wounded. But even though Mike was wounded and he didn't have very much confidence in his own ability, when he was given the responsibility to minister to people, to those who were also wounded at the Jesus Inn. He just jumped in there with his whole heart. And we ministered together for years. And one of the things I remember the most is, you know, he would cry. He would cry over the souls of people. And he was always willing to pray with anybody. And he would pray. He would pray for good attitude to minister to people. He would pray for the outcome of our ministry, whatever it was, whether we were leading somebody to repentance, which was most of the time, or encourage them, or exhort them in many ways. He was there, very willing. Because he was willing, he made himself available in every way. And because he was available, God used him in a mighty way. And in the process, like all of us at the Jesus Inn, he was healed. He was healed. And made whole in so many ways. There are so many stories I could tell about Mike. He was in the hospital so much and he suffered so much. I just want to say this one, tell you this one. I wasn't even there. I was in Russia or someplace. But we had a drama team at the Jesus Inn called the Jesus Inn Players, and we would go everywhere and we would do our skits and try to lead people to the Lord. And Mike loved it. And one day, one night, they were all ministering on the north side, very, very dark, violent place. Drug dealers and pimps and all kinds of dark things happening. And they were doing this skit called Neither Do I, which the idea of Neither Do I is that even though you don't believe in the devil, he can still drag you into hell. And at the end of the skit, the devil ties everybody up and yanks them into hell. And Mike was on the end, and he was yanked in a 45-degree angle, and his hip snapped and broke. And he had to have surgery. It was very, very painful. And as soon as he was healed, he was out there doing it again. You know, this was his driving force of his life. This is what he lived for. When I saw Mike on Wednesday with tubes inside of him and all the breathing machine and everything, trying to keep him alive, I was ashamed. Because I took my brother in his life for granted. It happened so fast, we didn't know. And with that in mind, I looked up some scriptures. I'd like to share them with you. Isaiah prophesied, a voice said, shout. I asked, what should I shout? Shout, the people are like the grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. The grass withers and the flowers fade. But the word of our God stands forever. We need to remember that we're just like grass with tiny flowers. And life beats us down. Eventually we wither and we die. And same is true with our friends. And in Psalm 39, verses 4 through 6, David prayed, this is one of my favorites, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire life is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing." I don't think that Mike's life was nothing, that all his busyness was nothing. But the point of this is that David was praying and asking God to reveal to him how short his life was so that he could make the best of it. And that was Mike's heart, to make the best of his life, to serve the Lord with all of his heart. And so I just appeal to you. Don't take it for granted, many of us. We just don't know. We don't know when the end's going to come, and we don't know when the end of our friends' lives are going to come. And if we did, we'd live our lives a lot differently. We'd treat each other a lot differently. None of us knows. We think we're going to end up, we're going to wake up every day and we're going to live. But we don't know. And so, like Mike, live your days for the Lord. And because what we do today depends on what kind of eternity we're going to spend. And Mike is just in the most wonderful eternity that he could be. I'm going to miss him. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Al. Thank you, James. Are there others who'd like to share? I want to give opportunity. I want to ask you to be brief, a couple minutes each, and we're going to take about 10 minutes to do this, okay? And I'm going to come to you if you raise your hand. Spencer?
As most of you know, that when we came to Oklahoma, we didn't have family that acknowledged us. And it was Mike and Don that took us in. He wasn't just a friend, he was my brother. He was family. He was such a gentle soul. And one of the last times I talked to him, where we sat down, we were talking for quite a while, I remember saying, "Mike, thank you for being my brother." And he goes, "I love you too. I'm going to miss you."
I didn't know Mike was such a great evangelist. I mean, I knew Mike very well, but just from here to there, I mean, every few months I'd see him. For years, I went with him down to Granite too once, but I didn't know he was such a great evangelist. I didn't know he was a street preacher. And I didn't know that he loved souls like that. I just didn't quite realize that, but that's the way we're all supposed to. And there's a song Johnny Cash sang about walking down the gospel road, and he said, "When one fell down, two more started in walking down the gospel road." And I just feel it's a great encouragement to me to get every strength that I can and take the baton, you know, and walk down that gospel evangelism road with all my heart. Mike did it with all his heart. He's a great example to us. Not many people do that. Not many Christians do that. But you can, and I can.
Thank you.
Stand up. When Mike first came to the Jesus Inn, he didn't know what to face when he came there. And I was sitting there on one of the couches when he walked in the door. And him and I started talking. And from that day forward, Mike and I considered us big brother, little brother. And when Don came into his life, he didn't expect that. But all the time that Mike and I spent in prayer, you could tell God had brought him a godly woman into his life.
I want to say Mike is such a loving person. He have a heart for people. I've been his neighbor for over 15 years now. And I had a stroke. And I was real down about it because I couldn't walk for a while. And Mike came down to my house and he ministered to me. He says, I had a stroke too, Katrina. But God healed me. And God gonna do the same for you. And he had prayer with me. And every day, that smile, that wonderful smile, he had, he'll flash that smile at me. I'm walking up and down the street, and he said, you getting there. And I did get there. And Mike encouraged me. He kept me encouraged. He is such a wonderful man, a wonderful friend. His whole family, they just have a love for people. And I thank God that I was blessed to have to know him during my lifetime.
I told Don, I said, Mike, love the Lord with all of his heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. I've been clean and sober almost 4 years, and he's been a big impact in my life to encourage me and pray with me. And he told me one time, I've never forgotten it, during one of the darkest times in his life, he said, God just became a giant ear on the side of his head and a mouthpiece and reminded him that God's word never comes back void. And he just kept pouring his word into his life. Thank you.
Okay, I knew Mike Farrell for a short amount of time, and this was a letter that he had wrote me. He said, to Brian from Mike Farrell, it says, Do It Anyway by Mother Teresa, and it said, one, let's face it, people are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyways, right away. Two, if you are kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyways. If you are successful, you will win some false friends, some true enemies, succeed anyways. Four, if you are honest and frank, people may cheat you, be honest and frank anyway. Five, what you spend years building, someone could destroy it overnight, build anyways. Six, if you find serenity and happiness, people may be jealous, be happy anyways. Seven, the good you do today, people may often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Eight, Give the people the best you have. It may never be enough. Give the world the best anyways. 9. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyways. If you do this, you will be one of the most happiest people in the world.
Thank you.
I've only known the Farrell family for a short time. I came here Easter Sunday. I had came out of a bad surgery, and 4 days later, I was here on Easter Sunday. And the blessings where people came to me and just really said, this is your home church. We love you. Make this your home. And, you know, you don't never hear those things from people, and I felt very warmed and loved that they surrounded me. Like I always say, God's wings. And after the service, I went to Dawn. I put her in shock for a second when I said, the Lord said, you know, we're going to become friends, and I'm there when you need me. You know, I'm at your service anytime that you need me, Dawn. And we started talking about CMA, and I started going to the meetings because I used to be a CMA member back in Albany, Oregon with my ex-husband. He got shot and killed. And, you know, Don said, oh, me and Mike's in CMA. So I started going to the meetings with them. And then she had asked me if I wanted to go over to the woman's prison ministry with Refuge Church. And Don and me went over there that afternoon. Mike had rode his bike out there that earlier that morning. And we went out there. We had lunch with the women at the Work Prison Release Center. And after lunch, Mike said, Cheryl, take these papers, which are prayer request or an address or your name, you know. And like I told, probably, I know that I just kept walking through there and asking the girls if they wanted to fill anything out. But Mike actually really inspired me that day. He said, the Lord says, you know, Cheryl, you have the courage, you have the strength, you have the testimony behind you, you know. Go minister into these women, touch their hearts, you know. And I'm only the second week out of the hospital at this time from having a perpetual aorta bypass, and I was still pretty weak. But, you know, I did as Mike asked me to because the Spirit put it in my heart. And he had such a great burning for the Lord and for the Spirit that he was willing, you know, to be faithful to give that message, you know. And me and Dawn, we had actually just took it and ran with what he said. And then the last was the CMA camp, which they invited me to. And I had such a wonderful time. And, you know, there's Mike again and Dawn again. They're just a great inspirer in my life, you know, as God said, you know, and they inspired me very spiritually and touched my heart, just as my children here. But it's good to have friends knowing that they also reach out to you in love, and we all need love. Miss Dawn, I love your family. And I'm going to miss your husband. He was a great and wonderful man.
We have time for one more. I'd like to get over here to one of the CMA brothers. Okay, let's have, yeah.
Okay, I hope I can do this without crying. If I start to cry, I start clapping. Sounds weird, but it works. There's a big hole in our hearts. There's four of us. And we always do, we get together and we all stand in line like you saw in the picture with my dad. And like if Mike's not there or Bill's not there or Force is not there, we leave a hole for that person. So there's a hole in all our hearts. And I just want to let you know that our Father gives his love as far as that. He's lost. Our mother died when she was 53. And Mike really should have been gone a long time ago with the life he had. You know, God saved him physically, and then he saved him spiritually. So he was able to live all these years and have a family and present the Lord to all his people because he had been there. You know, he used to say to me, if you're going to go crazy, you might as well go crazy for the Lord. So he used to wear a watch. It didn't work. I'd always say, hey, Mike, what time is it? He'd go, it's time to pray, you know. And anybody would ask him, he would do that, you know. So we had a great Uncle Pat. He was like our grandfather because we didn't really have a grandfather that was there for us. And he was a very strong Christian. Our grandmother was very strong. She prayed us all in. She prayed Bill in first, Bill Farrell, the oldest. We're all 19 months apart. So if you want to look, Mike was 62, Bill's 63, I'm 60, and Force is 59. So we're, my father, every 6 months, he would come back from sea, my mother would get pregnant. So that's how come we're so close together. And, you know, bigger brothers, the big brothers would make fun of me. We were all so close. We were in high school together in a band, and I was such a doofus. They'd look at me, and my Mike would go, look, if you look at my brother, he'll just start laughing, you know. So I'd go, he, you know, being a geek. And he was always making fun. If you look at any picture of him, he's always goofing and, you know, holding his fingers up. And so, you know, we don't know why he's gone, but, you know, he's not there. I went and saw him last night. He wasn't there. Just like, you don't know why people die, but God knows. It's like Keith Green passed away. If you knew Keith Green, he was an evangelistic singer. Why would God have him crash in an airplane and die? You know, we don't know why. But if you don't know the Lord today, and you don't have a peace in your heart that, you know the Lord, and you're going to, when you die, you don't die. You know, when you die right now to yourself, you live. And if you live that way, you live for God, and you'll live forever. You know, I really don't like saying goodbye. So whenever I leave, I'm with people, I just kind of walk away, and they go, that guy just walked away and didn't even say goodbye, you know? But I don't want to say goodbye because, you know, that's a deep thing. I know I'm probably talking too long. I'm not going to be one of those crazy guys. But I like the Lakota Sioux. They have no word for goodbye. You know, they prefer to say, you know, I'll see you soon, I'll see you again. It's taksha. You know, if you say goodbye, that would mean the hope of love and connection we have would be broken. They say, I'll see you again, travel well. So, you know, I'm not going to say goodbye because I'm going to see my brother again. And we're Irish. Farrell's very like Smith over in Ireland. So here's an Irish blessing. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rain fall soft upon your fields. Until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. And one last thing is Mike's a biker. Not, you're going to believe it, but he's on his deathbed. He's telling his wife, you got to go. I think I left the garage unlocked. Somebody might be doing something to my bike, so you got to go lock it, you know. So, and I tried to start his bike yesterday because I wanted to ride it here and keep it here and go to the cemetery. And it wouldn't start yesterday. The battery showed it was dead and everything. And when it was on the charger. So I said, God, you got to have it start, you know, and I pushed the charger on better, and it was green, and it was show charge. It started right up this morning. So thank God for that. And then the last thing I'm going to do is, I don't know if you know taps, but there are actually words to taps, and the words are, from the lakes, from the hills, from the sky, all is well, safely rest. God is nigh, fading light, dims the sight, and a star gleaming bright, from afar drawing nigh, still the night.
Thank you. Thank you, Blake. And thank you, all the rest of you who shared today. I know many of you had things you wanted to say, you wanted to share. Let me encourage you to write a note, because, this crush of all the things happening now, but in the next few weeks, all that goes away, things get back to a new normal in the Farrell House. And I think your notes will be really encouraging then. So let me encourage you, if you had something you wanted to say today but couldn't, put it in a note to Dawn and to the family, okay? Heather, come, and we're going to continue.
we were in the hospital Wednesday, just being together as a family. Mike passed, and I remember Dawn coming into the room, and she said the first song that came to her mind was In the Garden, which is a very old hymn, not one that you generally sing or hear very often anymore, but we sang it together right there at the very beginning, and so Dawn asked that we would sing that again today, and again, the lyrics will be up on the screen, and if you want to sing along, that's great, or if you just want to listen and soak, that's fine too. I come to the garden alone, while the dew still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we'll share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. Birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go. The voice of God, his voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry. With me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever
I think I was talking with James the other day, and we were talking about this service, and I said no matter how many chairs are put out, they're going to have to put out more chairs. I mean, look around. This is utterly amazing. I mean, one man's life. Excuse me. And if you knew Mike when he came to the Jesus Inn, to think, you know, that God would use this man in such a way is so powerful, really impacts me. Proverbs 20, verse 6. And this is the verse that came to me. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And Mike was a faithful man. He was a loyal man. I served with him for 35 years. He was consistently loyal. He was always there. He was always an encouragement, no matter what he was going through. He was loyal to me personally. He was loyal to the ministry. And he was loyal to the Lord. Through every conflict, Mike was there. And, you know, having a drug rehabilitation community with all the spiritual warfare and all the stuff that goes on, you have to have faithful people. And Mike was right there. He was just one of the strongest members of the team. And he was faithful right to the end. Mike came to the Jesus Inn in 1980. I sat down and figured that out. He was 27 years old when I met him. It was in April of 1980 when we had sent a team to Ohio to help develop a drug rehab center and a discipleship work. Took a year's sabbatical, and our family, James and Debbie Manchester, were with us. And we returned to the ministry, and we were unloading stuff and around the house. And I was standing in the driveway, and there was a guy hanging out the window, and he was yelling at somebody and arguing with them. And I turned around, and I said, I asked one of the leaders, I said, who is that guy? He said, oh, that's Mike Farrell. He just moved into the house. And I said, if he doesn't straighten up in 3 days, he's out of here. You know, we had a thing where, you know, anybody could stay for a day. We never put anybody out. We had a couple of warlocks spend the night. You know, that's another story. But 3 days, you know, because he was trying. 3 days. Well, Mike came around, and he hung around for 35 years. You know, he was delivered from a life of drugs and mental and spiritual oppression. His testimony is incredible. Somebody really ought to write it. He was eternally grateful. His zeal was a burning fire. And, you know, he was teachable. He was constantly searching the Word. He was disciplined. His discipline was a constant challenge to me. I was constantly convicted by Mike's convictions and by his discipline. He used to have these 3x5 cards that he put scripture on to memorize and quotes from various books. And I mentioned that to Dawn, and she goes, he was still doing it, you know, all these years. He was a servant. He was always available. He was a student of God's word. He was a prayer warrior. He was constantly trying to encourage me. He'd come over to the house. He'd say, I found this new song. You got to hear this song. He'd hand me a tape. I read this book, and there's this article, and he had a photocopy, and he'd hand it to me. He was always trying to feed me and encourage me. And then when he got into CMA and all these outreaches and stuff, and he said, you need to come with me, meet me out there, you know. And I got a motorcycle, so I went out there. You know, it's just, he's an evangelist. He had such a heart for it. That's what he lived for. And I think about that. You know, it was very, very hard, the process, I think, of anyone passing away. But, you know, Mike was so strong and overcame so many obstacles. And I struggled. You know, I'll be honest with you. I prayed by his bed, and I just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And to be honest with you, I was really wrestling with God. I was really wrestling with God because in the back of my mind, I had this sense, you know, that the Lord, it was the Lord was going to take him. And I was praying and praying. I said, no, I was held in there. And I'd pray about, you know, healing. And I'd have this vision in my mind of the Lord standing with Mike and pointing to this light on this path. And I kept getting that. I go, no, no, no. And I'd pray some more, you know. And I just kept praying. I wouldn't quit praying. I said, now, Lord, you understand. You know, I'm not sure this is you, and I'm just going to keep praying. And I just prayed and prayed and prayed. But at the very end, the Lord really spoke to me, and he said, you know, this is my plan. I know what I'm doing. And it's hard sometimes. It's a real mystery. I will miss Mike terribly. lived across the street. I saw him every day. He was always an encouragement, always a strength, always available. Anything I would ask him to do, he'd find the time to do it. It's a big hole. It's going to be hard to fill. I wrote this on Facebook, and I utilize Facebook to share the Lord and also to encourage Christians, I think mainly to encourage Christians, but I wanted to read this to you. My good friend Mike Farrell passed away yesterday. We have been together close to 35 years. Life without Mike is hard to comprehend. As long as I have known him, he has never faltered. I mentioned this to Dawn. Of all the people I know, you know, he just kept going forward. He just, and he'd have that smile, and he just kept pressing forward. He never faltered. I mean, he wasn't perfect, but he never faltered in his commitment to the Lord. He was a walking reproof regarding commitment to the Lord and what it means to be a true disciple. Loyalty and servanthood were his middle name. He has entered that glorious rest we so earnestly seek, a place of peace and light, no more pain, no more sorrow. One with his Lord, our loss, his gain. That's the reality. As I was grieving over Mike's passing, I realized I wasn't grieving for Mike, I was grieving for myself. You know, I was sitting in church the other day, and I turned to my sister-in-law, and she said, "How are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm not really struggling." I said, "You know what? It's all about me. It's really selfish. It's about me, you know, my loss. Because Mike has no loss. It's all gain." Mike was an evangelist, and people mentioned that different things that he would do. He'd constantly be looking. He witnessed everybody he'd meet. Those who didn't know Jesus, he wanted them to meet Jesus. He was constantly looking for opportunities to share the Lord with those who didn't know him. And again, trying to get other people involved in those opportunities. In Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, it says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." In verse 13 and 14, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Mike took this seriously. He took it as his personal responsibility. And really, it's the responsibility of every Christian. He took it very seriously. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 3, and 4, it says, "I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." The essential of the gospel. The essentials of the gospel. He died for our sins. He was buried. And he rose from the dead on the third day, overcoming death. In Romans, it says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." No one measures up. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." In the Gospel of John, Jesus said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Very succinct. No one comes to the Father except through me. Paul said similar in Acts, "Nor is there any salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And finally, in Hebrews, and this is one of my favorite areas of Scripture, "It is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment." Having been involved in Hinduism, that kind of did away with reincarnation and a number of other things. It goes on to say, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" This is the reality of Jesus Christ. This is the reality of the gospel. This is the reality of his life and the death that he gave for us. If this be true, then what must we do? Peter answers that question in Acts chapter 2, and actually it was the question the people asked. What do we do? And Peter answered and said, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I know Mike's heart, and I know what he would want transacted in this meeting. He would want people to come to the Lord. He would want to see people come to the Lord. And there are those of you here who do not know the Lord. Some of you believe, but you have resisted his lordship. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. George Mueller, who was an Austrian who had orphanages in England in the 1800s, a great prayer warrior who lived totally by faith, feeding all these orphans. He had a prayer journal, and in that journal, he would write down the prayer request, and then he would write down how it was answered and the date it was answered. And as he approached his last days, there was one prayer request that wasn't answered, and they asked him, they said, do you believe God will answer this prayer request? And it had to do with someone that he'd been praying for to receive the Lord, to give his life to the Lord. And he said, I have been praying, and I didn't get the exact figure. He said something like, I have been praying for 62 years, 5 months, and I mean, he actually had the amount. And he said, how could he not be saved? I am praying. I am praying. And when George Mueller died, that man had not received the Lord. It was the only request in his journal that had not been answered. And at George Mueller's burial, beside the gravesite, that man gave his life to the Lord. That man gave his life to the Lord. What more fitting tribute could there be to Mike's life than someone giving their life to the Lord? I want to pray for us. And as I pray, I want you to think about this. Think about these verses. Think about this opportunity. These opportunities don't come all the time. You know, it's a gift of God, an atmosphere, a season when God gives an opportunity. To take that opportunity and to make Jesus your Lord, to give him your life. You've got nothing to lose. Nothing to lose and everything to gain. Everything to gain. So I'm going to pray for us. And as I pray, if the Lord speaks to your heart and you need to respond to this, and we'll all be praying and looking to the Lord, I just want you to stand where you are. The Lord will see you. I want you to stand before the Lord. So let's just wait before the Lord and pray. And those who know the Lord, pray for those who are struggling with God. So let's just pray. Lord, we just want to commit this time to you. Oh, awesome God, that you would open the hearts of those that are searching, that don't know you. They sense just that emptiness and that need for oneness with you. God, we pray that you would transact business. In the name of Jesus, hover over us by your Holy Spirit. Just stand where you are before the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that draws us to you. And Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus to just forgive us. Forgive us of our sins. And you might pray this, Lord, forgive me of my sins. In word and action, the thoughts that ramble through my mind, the things that obsess me and possess me. Lord, I turn those over to you. I ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, that you would become Lord of my life, and you would guide me and direct me even unto that day. Lord, I want what Mike had. I want the obvious fruit of a godly life. We pray for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, I want to give one more challenge to those who know the Lord. I mean, this really struck me. I don't know. strange thing. I mean, all this is going on, and in the midst of it, I was getting convicted. I was getting convicted about areas of my life. I was getting convicted about lack of zeal, you know. I got this thing about how Mike's passing leaves a big hole in the kingdom, which, you know, it can't be filled, but it's like somebody on the wall, and we need to step up and take up the slack. And that's what I got. And one of the things was just to repent of being distracted by lesser things, reestablishing the lordship of Jesus Christ and reestablishing that first love. Do you remember when you came to the Lord or you were filled with the Holy Spirit, that zeal, that God would restore that zeal? Amen? Maybe a little bit of what Mike had. My wife's talking about this. That anointing he had would just be passed on, you know, passed on to us. I remember Richard Wurmbrandt, a Romanian pastor that was a good friend, spent 16 years in prison under communism, and he said, "It is not enough to be good. We must be great for God. We must give him our best." In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah encountered the Lord, he heard the Lord say, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And his attitude was, "Here am I, send me." And that's what God's asking for you to send, and say, "Here am I, send me. Use me. Use me." So this should be our constant heart and attitude. So as we have this last song, I want us to stand. Let's go ahead and stand. And as we have this last song, I just want you to transact business with God. Take this opportunity. Get a grip on what God has given you and what God's expectation of you is. And let's fulfill our destiny. Amen? Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is Lord. Oh, what a foretaste of glory to God. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my song.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And then reading from 2 Thessalonians, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the privilege of joining together and celebrating the life of Mike Farrell. We're grateful, Father, that your comfort is very real. Even as your word says, you are the God of all comfort. So we come to you now for comfort in our grief, Lord God. But Lord, we also trust, Heavenly Father, in the reality of what your word tells us, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is better by far. And so, Father, even in our grief and even in our mourning, Lord, we rejoice that Mike is now with you. And, Father, that he is discovering just how much better it really is. We're grateful for these truths, Lord. May these truths bring comfort to us, Father, as we live our lives now. And, Father, thank you for the inspiration of Mike's life. Lord, may we be inspired by your word and by his example, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone who'd like to stay is welcome to stay for a meal following the service this morning. There's a meal in the fellowship hall out this way or out the other way. There's a fellowship hall. You're welcome to stay. Also realize that many of you will be unable to stay. You're off work and you need to get back to work. So let me encourage, first of all, those of you who are staying, you can go directly to the fellowship hall and go through the line to eat. Just go ahead and get started. We encourage those who are not staying, if you would like to greet the family, you'd like an opportunity to greet the family before you leave, then you can line up and we'll file you past the family. The family will remain here until you're gone. So again, if you're going to stay, please don't get in the line. It'll make it move a little bit faster, okay? So we're dismissed. Everybody can, the family can have a seat, please. And the ushers will come and direct those of you. Now again, if you want to go to the meal, please go right away and then greet the family when they come in. Thank you.